Radio Daily for halfway day. We're almost there, and I don't know where you are, but where I am, they're promising me 70 degrees this weekend. So let's hurry the hell up on along and get to it, shall we? Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Come here, Bill. Thank you. He tried to slide away. It's Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places like that. The folks getting ready for it today, well, the man that's got the pep talk anytime we do a show, that there. Podcasting for Rich Siegfried.
This ain't no drill, Slick. Make me proud.
Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. You were doing the thing. Hi. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Well, ladies, the pleasure was all mine, which is the only thing that matters in the end.
Really? That's the only thing that... What happened this fine, fantastical day there, sir?
That seems like a bad way to go through life. In 1781, William Herschel discovers the planet Uranus, but mistakes it for a comet. It is the first planet discovered with the aid of a telescope. When he noticed it, he said, hey... That's no moon.
1882, the Zupraxiscope, an optical apparatus invented by Edward J. Muybridge to exhibit photographs of moving animals, is demonstrated at the Royal Institution to the Prince of Wales. It projects images from a rotating glass disc in rapid succession to give the impression of motion.
Fitting that he showed the exhibit of photographs of moving animals to the Prince of Wales. In 1925, a law in Tennessee prohibits the teaching of the theory of evolution in any state-funded institution. The law will result in the Scopes trial, which, of course, as we all know, was able to separate both church and state.
And it's minty fresh. 1930, the discovery of the ninth planet is announced by Clyde W. Tombaugh. Lowell Observatory, it's only one-tenth the size of Earth and 4,000 million miles away. The planet will be named Pluto on May 24th, 1930, and give young Neil deGrasse Tyson a reason to live.
Ugh. 1957.
It's a dwarf planet. Get over it.
How does Neil deGrasse Tyson figure out a way to disappoint an entire galaxy?
Education. Smarts.
In 1957, the 50 millionth Bell telephone is installed in the home of C&P of Maryland employee James S. Russell. Russell has the longest service of any Bell System employees at 53 years.
Wow, that's back when they did pensions and stuff. 1969, Apollo 9 returns safely to Earth after testing the lunar module.
1970, the PDP-11 minicomputer is introduced by the Digital Equipment Corporation. It will remain in active production until 1996, and during the course of its production, it will be one of the most popular 16-bit minicomputers ever produced.
1992, the US FCC rules that companies can own up to 30 AM and 30 FM radio stations, an increase from the 12 that any one company could previously own, which is why every damn station sounds exactly the same.
In 1996, in New York, Apple Computer and Bandai demonstrate the Pippin Atmark multimedia system to recruit software developers.
1997, in Phoenix, Arizona, the Phoenix Lights, one of the most widely witnessed UFO sightings, takes place, I want to believe.
2001, 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment releases Bedazzled on DVD. The 2000 remake of the 1967 film stars Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley and becomes the first DVD to include Nuon interactive features.
Ooh, little games on your DVD player? Yeah. Ooh. 2003, the journal Nature reports that 350,000-year-old human footprints made by an upright walking man have been found in Italy, and they belong to the doctor.
2004, the first DARPA Grand Challenge is held by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency in the Mojave Desert near Las Vegas, Nevada. The DARPA Challenge is a 150-mile race for robotically navigated vehicles built by the academic groups for a $1 million prize. Craig was the only person who entered.
Well, you know, someone had a really good way of winning it, but Starscream screwed it up as usual. Birthdays?
Starscream. Emil Hirsch, 34 years old, from Lords of Dogtown, Bonnie and Clyde miniseries, and was really darn good in Speed Racer.
Which is really darn good itself. Chris Ashworth is 44 from The Wire and Terminator Salvation, which was okay.
Dana Delaney, 63 years old, from Batman Mask of the Phantasm, Lois Lane in the DC animated flicks, Superman the animated series, was fantastic in Tombstone. I think we remember her most fondly from Exit to Eden.
Robin Duke is 65 years of age from Saturday Night Live, Groundhog Day, Stewart Saves His Family, and you can find her in Schitt's Creek occasionally.
I've heard that's really good.
It's got its moments.
William H. Macy, 69 years old from The Last Dragon, Fargo, Jurassic Park 3, Shameless. That's a long-running show, too, but let's face it, we all loved him as the Shoveler in Mystery Men.
So do I eat this egg salad sandwich?
I was thinking the same thing.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1855, Percival Lowell, an American businessman, author, mathematician, and astronomer who fueled speculation that there were canals on Mars, and he founded the Lowell Observatory, where one day someone would figure out that Pluto's a planet until Neil deGrasse Tyson schooled them.
Percival's a good name. In 1899, John Hasbrouck van Vleck co-authored the paper that went on to be co-awarded the 1977. See, that's a joke because I missaid it earlier. That's not in the cut here. He co-awarded the 1977 Nobel Prize in Physics for his contributions to the understanding of the behavior of electrons in magnetic solids. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear that edit in the Patreon feed.
Ooh. 1908, Myrtle Backlander, an American chemist and Women's Army Corps officer, is noted for her secret work on the Manhattan Project.
How can he be noted for secret? 1911, L. Ron Hubbard. He's an author.
Yep. He wrote Battlefield Earth.
He did. And he figured out a way to make the most money, as he claims, start your own religion.
1920, Ralph J. Roberts co-founded Comcast. They're still waiting for his birthday card to show up.
Which one had a worse impact on culture?
When their powers combine...
The Comcast of Scientology sounds terrifying. On CBS, we've got a new Survivor and the World's Best.
On ABC, it's new Goldberg's Schooled. Oh, that must be about Neil deGrasse Tyson. Modern Family and Single Parents.
Man, why you got... You just like people who just rain on people's bridge. NBC has the Chitra. You got your Chimeds, your Chifires, and your Chipids.
Over on Fox, Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back. The Odysseus story. It's not Odysseus. Someone else.
Icarus. CW has college basketball.
Freeform is showing Godfather 2.
Well, and if you don't get enough of it on AMC, they've got Godfather 2. Chances are AMC's going to have a longer cut.
Probably. E! Entertainment Television, Viva Las Vegas Boobs on a new episode of Botched.
I don't remember that Elvis song. FX has White House Down.
FXX. thinking on a new You're the Worst. What kind of thinking? Who knows? But there's thinking going on.
FXM has Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
IFC searching for Mr. Larsant on a new documentary now.
Oh, that's a good show. BBC America has X-Men.
Sundance, The Ministry of Evil, The Twisted Cult of Tony Alamo, which is about this guy who rented cars but then killed people because he hid in the trunk.
Well, before he started killing people, he would just show them movies all the time, like really indie movies. Sci-fi has new The Magicians, and when the heroes learn Shabnam's home is under Chester's control, they make it their mission to raid the house on a deadly class.
And you couldn't talk during the movies that he would show either. That was a cool thing. TBS, it's a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, but tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. When a mother allows the fun and games at her daughter's house party to escalate, murder and chaos turn out to be the deadly consequences. Krista Allen, Elsie Luthman, and Megan Ward star in Party Mom.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad's mom drops by for a visit. She says she's tired of Leo's constant Brady's my brother parties. Oh, and she wants Chad to move back to Salem. And maybe he should. I mean, JJ does need help getting Kaylee to let him help. When Abby asks how everything's going with her man, Chad's mom says she's leaving Salem is gonna move nearby. That is such a shocking move. I don't know how I could possibly tie that to Diana confronting John about Marlena. Maybe that's what's wrong with Daddy Chad. Hey, pour the coffee. Hashtag Chad. Forever.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
Not at all.
Hey guys, this is the Cinemistress. Take two. Someone was knocking on my door at 7:45 in the morning. Yay. So apparently my review of Captain Marvel ruffled a few feathers. I know Rich and Billy are going to address most of the points of the email, and thank you very much, guys. I love being part of the GRD crew. But I wanted to say one thing. The emailer asked, why is this lady talking about this? First off, my name's Carol, or the Cinemistress, so you can call me that instead of this lady. Second, I'm talking about it because it's a problem. I've been a geek for most of my life, and for just about as long, I've been told I'm somehow less of a fan because I'm female, and I can't like certain things because I'm female, and I can't have certain things because I'm female. Just yesterday, someone told me I couldn't possibly be a Nine Inch Nails fan because Trent Reznor's songs don't appeal to women. I happen to be a Nine Inch Nails fan. So this is a problem, and that's why I'm talking about it. If you don't want to see this movie, don't see this movie, but don't have an opinion on it because you haven't seen it. More than half the audience of my sold-out show was white guys, and I'm sure some of them loved the film. Some of them hated it, and most of them were like me, thinking, this is great fun, now where's Endgame? But we all had opinions on the movie because we had actually watched it. And that's what I'm saying. Don't rail against something because your feelings were hurt over a very minor instance of the star of the movie. And again, if you don't want to watch this film, don't. But don't tell me I can't have nice things because your feefies were hurt. So no, I'm not going to stop talking about this. I don't believe problems go away by ignoring them. And I don't believe bad behavior goes away by ignoring it. So stop being part of the problem. This is the Cinemistress. Love you guys. Bye.
I really think the whole thing is encapsulated for anybody who was confused by the situation.
Yeah.
That instead of saying Carol's name, which was mentioned several times,
yep,
or the Cinemistress.
It's right there in the title.
She was referred to as that lady. That right there really kind of encapsulates everything. Now,
the blah, blah, blah didn't help either.
Also true. Now, we love all of our listeners. And ultimately, you have two options. One, be nice and be better, or unsubscribe.
Let us know which one you're going to do. By all means, drop a note. We'd love to hear about it. We can keep a running tally going. It'll be fantastic. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. See what happens when you screw up the bell once, you move it closer, then it works. Or you could always just dial the magic voicemail number of
510-GRD-CROW.
Be more constructive with your feedback. What?
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week. Written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hi, I'm James Caan, semi-renowned writer, musician, doctor, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You know, I was semi-renowned at playing doctor. Hey, I'm sorry, the microphone's back on. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go push ourselves a button.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Oh, indeed it is. What's in the long boxes, sir?
Well, from DC Comics, we've got Justice League Dark, number 9, Scooby Apocalypse, number 35, Wonder Twins, number 2 of 6, and ripped from Batman's greatest nightmares, the Grim Knight is the world's most dangerous vigilante, unafraid to use any weapon and to go to any lengths to stop those whom he deems worthy of death. Trained with the finest arsenal Wayne money can buy, it's like they're connected, learned the secret origin of the second deadliest Batman, hand-selected by the Batman Who Laughs to bring his dark plans to fruition in Batman Who Laughs, The Grim Knight, number 1.
Over at Marvel, Age of X-Man, Apocalypse in the X-Tracks, number 1 of 5, Spider-Gwen Goes Spider, number 6, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number 42, and if it's not business as usual in Jersey City, then it's not the same. Aliens are wreaking havoc in Kamala's corner of the world, and they seem weirdly interested in Miss Marvel and her family. Why? Find out Magnificent Miss Marvel, number 1.
Isn't that an Amazon Prime show? Dynamite Entertainment has Army of Darkness, Bubba Hotep, number 2. Yes. George R. R. Martin's A Clash of Kings, number 16. James Bond Origin, number 7. Really? No two zeros in front of that? Boom Studios has Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 3. By Night, 8 of 12. Saban's Go-Go Power Rangers, number 1. And it's time for the fusions to shine in this 40-page special. The fan-favorite Steven Universe fusions get the spotlight as Stevani, Garnet, Smokey, Quartz, Opal, and Sugarlight take Beach City on in 5 fantastic tales in Steven Universe. Fusion Frenzy, number 1.
Over at Archie Comics, Archie Jumbo Comics Digest, number 297. Riverdale Season 3, number 1, which I assume, of course, are shot-for-shot remakes. Over at IDW Publishing, Batman The Max, Arkham Dreams 4 or 5. G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, Silent Option wraps up its 4. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder in Hell, number 2. But in the infinite universe, there exists a planet like no other. Cybertron, home to the Transformers and a thriving hub for interstellar commerce. A truly amazing realm, long untouched by war and reaching for the stars. This is the Cybertron that Optimus Prime and Megatron vie for in this bold new origin. A world of seemingly endless peace, all that changes by the hard reality of the first murder to have occurred on Cybertron in living memory in Transformers, number 1.
From Zenoscope, we've got Black Knight wrapping it up with 5 of 5, Grim Tales of Terror, volume 4, number 13, Robin Hood Outlaw, number 2, and of course is R-O-B-Y-N. From Dark Horse, we've got Avatar Tui Path, number 3.
Kazuna.
William Gibson's Alien, 3 of 5. Kate Strand reboots her destructive life and moves to L.A. to be the superhero she always wanted to be, a gun-toting monster killer. With her latest career change, she faces new challenges, relationships, and competition. Desperate to show she's worth a damn in a world overrun by zombies, vampires, demons, goblins, and the ultimate monster bounty, the seven fabled beasts of yore in Calamity Kate, number one.
Over to American Mythology Productions, Zorro, Swords of Hell, number three. He might fight with Shredder. Image, Hit Girl Season 2, number 2, Murder Falcon, number 6, Spawn Kills Everyone 2, did, because he wraps up his 4. Then over at Oni Press, Jerry's blaming all of his marital issues on his dad bod. And when he goes to Rick for a quick fix, things go so poorly, it's demonic. And Rick and Morty presents Jerry, number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Apple is known for many things, but streaming content isn't one of them yet.
It took them too long to figure out right-clicking.
Apple and its CEO Tim Cook, not Tim Apple, does have some folks getting things ready, like M. Night Shyamalan, Damien Chazelle, and Thor Ragnarok Helmer, Taika Waititi, who signed on to help adapt Time Bandits. He'll be co-writing and directing the pilot episode and serve as executive producer alongside Terry Gilliam himself.
Hearing this is the happiest news I've ever gotten. Yes, I do have 3 children.
The original film is, quote, a dark, irreverent adventure about an imagination, bravery, and nature of our dreams. It follows the time-traveling adventures of an 11-year-old history buff named Kevin, who stumbles onto 6 dwarfs coming out of his closet. We're cool with that. Former workers of the Supreme Being, stolen a map that charts all the holes in the space-time fabric, and are going everywhere they can to steal things. They meet Napoleon Bonaparte, Robin Hood, while the Supreme Being is trying to catch up to them and retrieve the map.
Is Sean Connery coming back?
We can only dream. I mean, please, make this happen. If any film ever yearned to be a series, it's Time Bandits. It's like if Terry Pratchett wrote a film adaptation of Voyagers directed by Billy the Bull, but the fabric of the universe is far from perfect. A bit of a botched job, you see. They have only a map full of all these holes, and why repair them? Why not use them to get stinking rich?
I showered today. Oh, but what about fighting evil?
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, after all, evil understands computers while the Supreme Being is wasting his time making like 43 species of parrots and nipples for men.
Netflix has announced that it will be producing an anime series based on Mark Millar and Lionel Wu's Super Crooks, which the streaming giant described as a super-powered heist comic.
Danny Ocean and his pals were supervillains? I gotta watch that again.
I'd rather see a powered version of Leverage. But originally, published in 2012, Super Crooks is a 4-issue miniseries that follows Johnny Bolt as he leads a team of retired superpowered thieves through a heist in Spain.
Will this mark the return of Retired Man?
Retired heroes stopping retired crooks?
Good idea, right?
I mean, depends. Netflix didn't release any further details about the anime. Super Crooks, which joins an ambitious slate of programming based on Millar World comic book imprint, which the streaming giant purchased in 2017. Keep in mind, I may be pronouncing his name incorrectly, but he has an Irish accent, I believe, so it all sounds like Millar.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time a Super Crooks adaptation has been in the works. In 2011, the series was optioned to be a film before it was published, and in 2016, Waypoint Entertainment acquired the rights for the series. Now is the time for Super Crooks. Hopefully, starring Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman, and Jack Nicholson.
God, that would be so good. Get me some Helen Mirren in there, too.
And throw in some Tommy Lee Jones. Come on now.
Discovery, Season 2. Wow.
Right. How do you talk to a red angel?
Plus, we're getting all the Section 31 stuff, and as you know, a series is coming in like a year or so.
Maybe I should ask Jamie Walters about the whole... Wait, what?
Executives from CBS held a panel at the Innovative TV Conference in Israel, because that's where it's for, and the subject of the new series came up. CBS Television Studios President David Stapp tempered expectations, saying, it's a good couple of years away.
But they were in like every episode this season.
The show is not expected to film until after the 3rd season of Star Trek Discovery, which shoots this summer ahead of an early mid-2020 launch. And Michelle Yeoh's Galactic Emperor turned operative, sorry spoilers, Philippa Georgiou is expected to be part of the cast of the 3rd season of Discovery. Now don't forget, the Picard show is coming, and Lower Decks, maybe that Starfleet Academy show, and hopefully, finally, a Starfleet office style show, because I want to see if Star Trek can be as good as the Orville.
I don't know if they could.
They could put a Tribble in Jello.
We get all matted in the fur. Right? So I've been putting pennies in his communicator every day. The moon. We've all heard of it. We've all seen it. And it was previously thought to be very dry.
And made of cheese. And had cat women. And women from the Amazon.
The moon is, in fact, not dry. Nor is it flat. We learned that there is some water, and with the help of NASA's Lunar Recovery Orbiter, the LRO, scientists recently observed hopping liquid water on the moon's surface, and their discovery could lead to more lunar explorations.
Hopping water on the moon?
Doctor! Help!
Using an instrument aboard NASA's LRO, scientists witnessed water molecules shifting around the day side of the moon, said a NASA press release. Previously, scientists thought the moon was arid, with water existing mainly as ice pockets on the moon. During the last decade, scientists have identified surface water in scattered molecule populations bound to regolith, also known as the lunar soil.
From 2001?
No. The regolith.
Oh.
It's like a regular one, not just singular. Water on the moon, which varies by location and time of day, is more common at higher altitudes and bounces around as the moon's surface increases in temperature.
But where the hell does water even come from for the moon?
Scientists say that hydrogen ions in the solar wind might generate most of the moon's surface water. When the moon moves behind Earth and is shielded from the solar wind, the moon's water supply is decreased. However, the water molecules observed by NASA do not decrease during this time, and it's likely that the moon's surface water builds up over time instead of raining down. Or the waters of Mars is getting closer. Sleep well, folks.
Maybe the whalers will save us.
And in Of Course This Exists news,
UK sex toy maker Jules has developed what it claims is the world's first measuring with a camera.
Ooh, that's the title of my one-man show featuring a reality show of Gonzo proposing to Camilla.
The silicone ring boasts a micro HD camera capable of capturing videos and still images and has 6 night vision infrared lights for recording in the dark.
Wouldn't it be recording in the light and then the dark and then the light and the dark? Well, but won't that get hot? Like, but not in a good way?
It pairs with an associated iOS or Android app, and the company says all footage is stored directly on your mobile device to ensure the data remains private. According to the creators, the device works much like a traditional penis ring, helping to boost performance and endurance in the bedroom, but it has an added feature for a new level of intimacy.
Communication?
It is a video camera that films your intimate moments at never-before-seen angles, according to the website.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
The $160 Wi-Fi connected device runs on rechargeable batteries that last up to 90 minutes, 86 minutes longer than you, running 1080p video at 15 frames per second.
15? Man, that's like prawn from 15 years ago.
The tiny camera is only about an inch and a half wide.
Everything's gonna look so big.
And the ring itself is made from extra stretchy silicone to ensure the wearer's comfort, and they say extra sizes are on the way. Now, of course, as we said, your footage is never stored on the app. The app is used to operate the camera and view the footage only. So check your mobile device's security policies. Data is not stored on the app or on any cloud storage.
Good. I'm tired of getting banned from Twitch for accidentally going live.
And in fairness, they do have some work to do on this system because so far all the videos, everything looks like ass. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons. Non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. And why not stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com? And hey,
why do we not have a Hugo?
Why don't you drop us a note and say, Jesus, how you've been doing this for like 11 years now? Aren't you supposed to be older than 12? Drop that note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. And we'll tell you how in our part of the verse, we just age at different rates. You know, it's whatever. Or drop us a voicemail, won't you please?
510-GRD.
And we'll see you the next time we do. And yeah, Captain Marvel. Yeah, but where's Endgame? Where's Endgame?
Everything we know about you guys is wrong.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
Good night, suckers!
No more of your long stories, all right?
Yeah, people aren't used to boring podcasts.
Chief, I spent a week on the docks with rats and frizzed hair exposing the biggest gun-smuggling ring to hit this town in 10 years, and what makes the front page? Some sprouty, new-age, granola-crunching fluff piece on angels. What's next? Interviews with Bigfoot?
Good timing, Lois. I want you to be the first to know I'm hiring a new guy on the city desk.
Is he cute?
You tell me.
Oh, hi.
Hello. This is the guy, Lois. Clark Kent from Smallville.
Smallville? Never heard of it.
Have you ever been to Kansas?
God, no.
I've been reading his stuff. It's good. I thought maybe he could tag along with you for a few days to get the lay of the land.
I'd love to play Den Mother, Chief, but I got that LexCorp story in a half an hour.
Oh, yeah. Usually Lex is Lois's beat, but I'm sure she won't mind having another set of eyes with her. Right, Lois?
Look, Smallville, nothing against you, but even as a kid, I never liked babysitting. You want to keep up with me, you gotta be quick. I'm no tour guide and I don't hold hands.
Not on the first date. How the hell do I not have Exit to Eden written down on that? That's crazy, because, yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah, it's an easy joke for us to make.
Sure. I could have done without all of her period jokes, though. I'm like, come on, just show me some people scantily clad.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for, man. I'm sorry. That's what I'm here for, person. Sorry.